We've seen how the Holy Spirit in Acts 16 intentionally records the Apostle Paul forbidden, prevented, striking out, so that in all the uncertainties of our lives, we would learn to live by faith in the one thing that is absolutely certain: Jesus' saving grace. Acts 16 continues in verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So at the closing three doors, the Lord opens another door, not just to another city, but to another race and continent, with a vision of a Macedonian saying, "Come over and help us." Perhaps it was even Paul's sickness that had closed the previous door and now provided contact in opening this one, because it's here at Troas that Paul apparently first met Dr. Luke, the author of Acts, who appears to have been from Macedonia. So he receives this vision, and then the verse after our text, Luke, for the first time, includes himself in Paul's journey. "We set to go to Macedonia." I've read that chess masters envision the next six moves of their adversaries. But the Lord envisions all the moves of all of his adversaries, of all the nations, of generations yet unborn. And yet, as God causes the Son of Grace to rise over the continent of Europe, and through them over us, there was no mass flight of the darkness, no collective celebration of the light. According to God's wisdom, it instead came about in a very unspectacular way. Divine revelations brought them to Macedonia, and yet they went for days without any contact at all. You and I might think that God's raising the Son of Grace over the continent of Europe should be much more spectacular. News headlines, banners, bands, mass conversions. But the Lord in his wisdom caused it to start with just a few ladies gathered at a river. No church building. No dramatics. No celebrities. But these ladies did not despise the day of small things. Hearing that message of Christ crucified for you, washing you clean in his blood to make you kings and priests with his God and Father, they received the kingdom of God. And through these humble beginnings, the Lord reminds us that his kingdom does not come through glitzy marketing, dramatic presentations, or Christianized pop culture, but rather through the message of Christ crucified. In him, the riches of the kingdom are given to you. Your sins are forgiven, your souls redeemed. Filled with such riches of his kingdom, the first converts in Macedonia were freed from this world's competitive scramble for the treasures of this dying earth. For them, salvation was no longer a nice contingency plan to have convenient when everything else fails, but rather the personal rescue from death and sin that constrained them to live their whole life for Christ. Lydia compelled the apostle and his company to stay in her house. Christ's generosity for us contagiously filled that whole congregation. And that grace of God that has brought salvation also to you and me would also thus set us free from the competitive scramble of this world to hold on to the treasures of this dying earth, to fill us in Christ with that generosity to share Christ and Him crucified with others. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We conclude with hymn 360, stanzas 1 to 3.